Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
Weird Whistling in the Appalachian Mountains by Itachi Uchiha, 11388. To start this off, I need to give some context. I'm 23 and I currently live in New York City, but I have grandparents who live down the road in rural West Virginia. When I say rural, I mean the literal boonies. Their closest neighbors are over an hour away, in a small town with a few houses and a Walmart. Last summer, my grandfather, who I'll just call Robert for privacy reasons, had hip surgery. The majority of my family lives on the West Coast, and my grandmother, who I'll refer to as Muriel, is very old, and she wouldn't have been able to take care of Robert herself. Because I was the closest family member, I was the one they asked to go down and help my grandfather. Being the good grandson I am, I agreed to go down there for a few weeks, while he recovered from his surgery. Fast forward a week, everything was going fine. All I really had to do was help my grandfather up and down the stairs, and walk his dog, a blue heeler named Rocky. Normally, my grandfather would walk Rocky, once in the morning and once at night through the woods behind their property. But because of his surgery, that responsibility fell onto me. This was the part that I hated about helping him, because ever since I was a little kid, I never liked those woods behind the property. Whenever I'd go down there as a kid, me and my cousins would always get creeped out going into that forest. It always felt just off for some reason. Anyways, for the first week, walking Rocky in the forest at night was fine, even if a bit creepy. That is until one night, a week into my stay, I was walking him through the forest. It was about 8:30 and the sun was setting over the Appalachian Mountains. Everything was going normal until I heard a strange whistle that sounded like it was only about 20 yards away. Both me and the dog stopped dead in our tracks and looked towards the direction the whistling came from. I shined my flashlight in the direction, but I didn't see anything, so I had just assumed it was a bird. Looking back, it definitely wasn't a bird. There's no nocturnal birds that chirp and whistle out there, and it sounded more musical than anything even a bird could whistle. But the dog was spooked. He wouldn't stop growling and staring at whatever was back there. He kept trying to back up until whatever, or whoever this thing was, whistled again, to which the dog started barking and going crazy. At this point, I decided that I definitely didn't want to stay there, so I yanked the dog's leash, and we both bolted out of the woods and went straight back home. When we got back and I told my grandparents what happened, they both seemed spooked, and my grandmother immediately asked if I whistled back. I told her that I hadn't, and she seemed relieved, but told me that I didn't hear anything, and to just ignore it. I asked her why, and she wouldn't tell me. Instead, she just told me I didn't hear anything. I decided not to press it any further, and I went off to bed, terrified and wondering what she seemed so freaked out about. The next morning, she told me that instead of walking Rocky through the woods, I could just take him on laps around the house, so that's what I started doing. Every night I would take Rocky for around 50 laps around the house before going back inside. On Friday, the third to last day I would be there, at night I was taking Rocky for laps as usual, until I heard the same creepy whistle behind the attached garage, which was only around 10 yards from the house. This time, I immediately took Rocky back inside and locked the doors. The rest of the night I put my earbuds in, and I ignored any more whistling like my grandmother told me to do. To this day, I still don't know what was whistling in those woods. Some of my friends suggested that it might be a skinwalker, but that wouldn't make sense in West Virginia. My girlfriend, who stayed back in New York City, asked her Muslim parents who are from Yemen, and they said whistling at night is a sign that a jinn is nearby. I don't know what it was, but whatever it was had my grandparents legitimately scared. Does anyone have any idea what this could have been?
New Orleans Experience by Much Credit 3936. This is an account of some events that happened to me 2 years ago in New Orleans. I haven't spoken about this to anyone. Like me, my friends and family are not believers in the paranormal. I just don't have any explanation for what happened to me. A few years ago, I took a series of jobs in hospitality as a way to travel to different parts of the U.S. In 2022, I took a position at a small hostel in New Orleans. The hostel is a beautiful Victorian house just on the edge of the French Quarter, and I was really excited about using it as my base to explore the city and the state of Louisiana. Like most old houses, the building had some quirks. You know how wood settles in old houses? Sometimes it would sound like there were footsteps upstairs. Guests in room 3 would always come down to reception to check if there was a problem with the air conditioning. That room was always cold. I remember the Yale lock on the front door would start making noise for no reason despite changing the batteries and the lock itself. It was a few weeks into my stay there that things began to get strange. It started with the candlestick. It was autumn, and since the peak season was now done, we decided to deep clean the house, including the top floor, which is not open to guests. I remember reaching up to dust the top of the bookshelf when my hand hit something. There was a sudden crash that made me freak out, thinking that I had broken something. I had knocked something heavy sounding off of the top of the bookshelf, and it had fallen, luckily, into an open cardboard box instead of denting the wooden floors. I looked at it, turning it around in my hand. It was covered in cobwebs and what looked like rust, but I could see that underneath all of that was a beautiful, ornate candlestick. I put my hand up on top of the shelf again, feeling around for its pair, but I couldn't find it there or anywhere else in the room. I'm pretty sure that I went to look for other staff right then, wanting to show them this beautiful candlestick and to ask if they had seen the other one. I thought that it would be good to put them out on display. The first person I came across was a girl that I'll call Megan. I showed it to her excitedly, asking if she had seen the other one, but she just raised her eyebrows and said that it was creepy and to chuck it out. I argued that it just needed some cleaning up, and I ended up taking it to the restroom, washing off all of the cobwebs and the rusty stuff, which luckily washed off without any difficulties. I never did find the other one, but I found a candle for it, and I put it on display on the dining room table. Around this time, I started sleeping poorly. It wasn't nightmares exactly. I just never woke up feeling rested. It was like that feeling you get right when you wake up, just before your dog passes away, or you've had a broken heart, a sinking feeling of dread in your stomach, just for a second, knowing that something is wrong, waiting for the memory to hit again. But it never did, and I never knew why I felt that way. It was just something I went through every morning. I don't remember now if it was the next morning or a few days later, but I went to put out the breakfast and the candlestick wasn't on the table anymore. I really didn't think anything of it. People get drunk on Bourbon Street, come back late, and do weird things. I found it under the table and I put it back where it was. The next day, though, it had moved again, and this time I found it on the other side of the room. Strangely, the rusty substance was there again, creeping slowly back up the base of the candlestick. A few days later, it had moved again, and I had to spend a good amount of time searching for it. I was already in a bad mood that morning because of something that had happened the night before. I had really wanted to go and see a friend's jazz band that evening, and I asked if someone would change shifts with me. I had changed shifts as a favor for them more times than I could count. Most people like to go out on the evenings in New Orleans to enjoy the nightlife, but I was studying on the side and enjoyed the quieter nighttime shifts where I could sometimes read a little. I often stayed at the desk after the end of my shift to study in peace and quiet, but I didn't understand why the one time I asked to go out in the evening, everyone avoided eye contact and just shuffled awkwardly. Why were they so selfish when I asked them to switch with me? After what happened to me later, I have an idea of why they didn't want to be alone there after dark. Anyway, on this morning, I was looking for the candlestick. I didn't blame the partygoers anymore, and I had a good idea of who kept moving it. A few nights ago, I had come up from the evening shift to the kitchen. It was dark. All the lights were off, and I had come into the dining room. I glimpsed Megan standing there looking at it. Even though I only saw her from behind, I knew that it was her. She was the only girl here with dark hair. She told me that the candlestick was creepy the very first time she had seen it. Well, I found it again, this time shoved in the bottom of the storage closet, and when I saw Megan, I confronted her, telling her to stop moving the candlestick. She said that she didn't. I was holding it in my hand and felt this consuming rage flow through me. Honestly, a kind of anger way out of proportion to what was happening. It was just for a second, and I came to my senses. She was looking at me with wide eyes. I put the candlestick back on the table. After that, I kept seeing the candlestick in the dining room, and I felt a little embarrassed about almost losing my temper with Megan. I don't know why she lied about moving it, but I pride myself on being professional, and I didn't feel good about what had happened. I felt guilty every time I looked at it. One day while cleaning, I randomly moved it to room 4, where I wouldn't walk past it several times a day. I didn't plan on keeping it there, but that room wasn't going to be occupied for a few days. A little while after this, something else happened. One night, I finished the evening shift and began studying at the front desk. It was just after 1 a.m. when I heard footsteps in the corridor behind me. I recognized the woman who came into the lobby. She was staying upstairs in one of the dormitories. Due to a missed flight, a party of 4 people who were due to stay in the dormitory had not arrived. They had phoned earlier, telling me that they decided to stay in Fort Lauderdale another week and wanted to reschedule their whole stay. So this lady was staying alone in what was supposed to be a 5-bed dormitory. When I saw her, her hair was messed up and she looked really tired, so I was immediately concerned. I think I asked her if everything was all right, and she asked me if I could check on the person in the room next to hers because it seemed like they had been crying for hours. She hadn't been able to sleep because of the noise and was pretty worried that the person in there wasn't doing okay.
so I followed her upstairs to knock on the door where she heard the crying. I took the keys with me in case I needed to let myself into the room. Next to hers was one of the dormitories. It had 8 or so beds, but tonight there were only a couple of girls staying there. I stopped outside and raised my hand to knock on the door when she stopped me. She said that the crying had been coming from the room opposite hers, room 4. Now, I had assumed that she meant the dormitory, because that room was occupied. Room 4 was not. I told her this, but she seemed certain that the crying had been coming from that room. Right then, there was nothing other than silence and the creaking of an old house. I tried to reassure her that the noise she heard was probably one of the hostel's cats or another animal. I heard that there's a kind of swamp rat in Louisiana that can sound like a crying baby. And I've heard foxes in the woods before that sound like a woman being murdered. I'm no stranger to the unsettling sounds of wild animals. But to put her mind at ease, I checked room 4. I opened the door and I switched on the light. Nobody was there. I gave her my reassurance and she went back to her room. Something else had caught my eye, though. The lampshade on the far side of the bed was torn, and something was on the pillow. I walked around the bed and I saw what had happened. On the pillow, there were some small shards of broken glass, and on the floor was the candlestick. It was as if it had been thrown across the room at the lamp, torn through the fabric of the lampshade, and smashed the light bulb. Now, something I probably should have mentioned, Megan had returned to her home country before I took the candlestick into this room. I got a bad feeling that it had never been her moving it. I didn't see much of that woman over the next couple of days, up until one morning when I was working reception. I heard the sound of suitcase wheels and quick footsteps coming down the corridor. It was her, the woman who had heard the crying, saying that she wanted to check out. She still had 3 nights left on the reservation, so I asked lightly if there had been any changes of plans. She just shook her head, and when I looked at her face, she looked pale, with dark circles under her eyes as if she hadn't slept. I tried asking if there was a problem with the room or anything that we could do to help her enjoy her stay, but she shoved the keys at me and was gone. Once she left, I went up to her room. I wondered what had made her act so weird. I checked the room all over, but I didn't find out. A few days later, room 4 was booked, and I meant to take the candlestick back to the dining room. Instead, I put it in the cleaning caddy, forgot about it, and it made its way downstairs with me. Rather than take it back upstairs, I decided to take it to my room and return it to its spot tomorrow. Something happened that night that almost made me leave the hostel. Even writing about it now makes me feel uncomfortable. I woke up that night to the sounds of someone moving around in my room. I was still half asleep and thought that I was dreaming, but in a way that I can't describe, I knew somehow that those noises weren't coming from inside my mind. They were coming from somewhere in the room. I heard footsteps rustling, and then, finally, the feeling of someone or something sitting down on the bed. I remember the weight of it, the way that it depressed the mattress, and somehow I just knew that whatever it was not human. I kept as still as I could, but my heart was beating so hard, I was sure that whatever it was would hear it. It seemed to sit there for a long time while I just lay there, too afraid to move, my every nerve attuned to it. After a time, I felt the bed move again and it was gone. I never heard the door open or close. I remember lying there for a long time, the covers pulled up over my head, hearing my heart beating against the mattress, sounding like footsteps, too terrified to move. It was after this that I started looking into leaving New Orleans. I slept with the lights on and only got a kind of twitching, nervous half-sleep at that. My heart was always beating too fast and too hard in my chest. The lack of sleep wasn't helping, but I was afraid to sleep. I felt like there was constantly someone behind me. I kept imagining footsteps coming down the corridor. One morning, another staff member went to start their shift, and the keys were gone. This irritated me because there were three sets when I had finished my shift the night before. I can't explain why this angered me as much as it did. I'm not usually quick to anger, but I just felt a rage that was building inside of me again, and a sense of being so deeply wronged. Looking back, I'm pretty sure that no one made any accusations against me or anyone else, but I felt that everyone was accusing me of having lost them because I was on shift the previous night. I started demanding to view the cameras to see who had taken the keys. I think everyone just wanted to calm me down, so the manager went and got the laptop and brought up the video feed. We found the footage from the night before. The video was of me getting everything done, turning off the lights, and leaving with all three sets of keys hanging up. We started skipping through the footage until we saw the door open again at 1:33 a.m. That's when I saw the worst thing I had ever seen. Myself. I saw me enter the lobby, take the keys off the wall, and head down the corridor. There's a sick horror that I can't describe in seeing yourself doing something you have no memory of, realizing your own body isn't something you are in control of. I think I apologized, or at least I hope I did. I left that same day. I had never sleepwalked before, and I have no explanation for what happened. Thankfully, since I left, I haven't had anything weird happen. I've been able to move on with my life and think about it less and less, but sometimes I can still see that video in my mind's eye and feel the sensation of the mattress sinking as whatever it was sat there watching me. New Orleans is amazing, and the house was beautiful, but whatever happened to me was the most terrifying experience of my life.
The Voice I Heard That Night by Pastel Punk 2077. I worked security in 2019 through 2021. One place I was working was at a call center. There were guards on site 24/7, 2 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon, and 1 overnight. On the overnight shift, there was no one else in the building. All doors were locked, and all ID scanners were locked as well. I need you to understand that there was no one else in the building. There was no way anyone else could have been in the building with me. This happened in 2020, when everyone was working from home, and the security team were the only people that were even in there. At every odd hour, I would do a patrol around the building, check into all the rooms I had to, and return back to the desk. Other than that, I'd sit there and watch the cameras and plan my switch. One night, while I was there for the overnight shift, and the other two guards had already left, I had to go on a patrol. All the lights in the building were out. It didn't really matter that much, because I could see enough with the lights from the parking lot, and I'd never been afraid to walk around alone there, because I enjoyed the job. I walked through the downstairs, checked all the exits to make sure they were locked, and all the staircases to make sure they were empty. When I moved to the second floor, I heard one of the phones ringing. Not unheard of, and because of the sensitivity of it all, we aren't allowed to touch the phones, except for the ones on the front desk. I usually played loud music to walk around, but this time I'd left my phone to charge at the desk. There was no device on me that could have made a sound. The phone had since stopped ringing, and I was still alone. As I move to the final part of the building for my patrol, I hear a small thud by the stairway at the back. That didn't bother me, but when I heard a woman's voice call out, "Help me," I froze. I stayed silent and didn't move for nearly 15 minutes. It took me a while, but I eventually called out and asked if someone was there. But I didn't dare go over there. I would have heard something or seen someone moving if there had been anyone. I did not finish my patrol that hour and immediately returned to the desk downstairs where the lights were on in the lobby. My boss even asked me what was up, and when I told him about it, he just nodded and said, "Yeah, that happens sometimes." I didn't hear anything else for the rest of my time working there. I even checked the cameras that were in that area, and there was no one there. I always used to figure ghosts were real, or at least I wanted to believe they were. But that night completely proved to me that ghosts are real. And when one asks for help, you probably shouldn't put yourself at risk.
Creepy Experiences by No Step on Snake 117. First off, I'm going to start with some information about myself. I'm an avid catfisher. I love to fish at night when it's peaceful and quiet, and I tend to stay out extremely late on non-work nights. So that leads to why I was at this lake, experiencing what I did. I forget what day it was, but I was alone. My girlfriend at the time didn't want to come with me, and I couldn't convince anyone else to join me, so I thought, fuck it, I'll go by myself. I grabbed my gear and gun, then fished for a few hours until I caught a few. While I was fishing, I kept hearing talking, but I couldn't see anyone. I figured maybe they were just walking down the road, so I didn't pay it any mind. Fast forward a few hours, and I hear a whistle. This is a city lake, so it's decently lit up in most areas. I look around and I don't see or hear anything further, so I resume fishing. Another whistle, this time to my right. I'm thinking to myself, it's probably some kids, but the whistle felt like someone wanted my attention. Again, I see and hear nothing. I turn around, and now I see a cat. I don't think anything of it and go right back to fishing. I hear another whistle, this time behind me. The cat's gone. So I reel in my line. Catfish are pretty strong. I don't want to lose a $200 pole. I put my hand on my gun and quietly walked around the building. Nothing. I see and hear nothing, which seems impossible since gravel is everywhere. I turn around, walk back, and directly behind me, I hear a very loud, shrill whistle. Loud enough to make me flip around and draw my gun. My heart is pounding. So I grab my stuff and book it to the car. Fast forward a week later. Last Friday or Saturday night, a friend and I go to the same place. I had forgotten about the whistling. We go fishing and have a decent time. As I was looking around, I kept noticing shadows in the trees across the lake. It almost looked like someone was running near the lights and jumping around. I didn't think anything of it, figuring that it was the night playing tricks on me. My friend, who didn't tell me later, had also observed the same exact thing. Now it's close to 3 a.m. I hear some people chatting. I didn't see anyone, which was odd. The lake is kind of like a pit with roads all around, so it would be impossible not to see someone walking by. I'm feeling a bit sketched out, but I keep fishing. At around 3:15 a.m., I begin to hear birds tweeting. This is in the dead of night. I turn to my friend and say, "Do you hear birds chirping?" Kind of odd for 3 a.m., right? He looks around, kind of paranoid. 5 to 10 minutes later, he says, "Those aren't birds. Someone's mimicking them." I look at him and say, "What are you on about?" He replies, "Remember that story your coworker told you?" I nod. "Yeah, about the incidents and why they don't let anyone swim here anymore?" He then asked, "How many people have died?" As soon as he asks that, the crickets stop. The wind dies immediately and the fish stop biting. My pole was being pulled in as I said that, and it just slipped off. You could hear a pin drop. He asks, "Do you feel that?" I nod, my chest feeling heavy. It's hard to breathe. A horrible feeling of dread. He looks around and says, "Let's pack our shit and get out of here." I agree, and we grab half of the stuff and pack it up. The tweeting starts back up. We go back for the rest and then rush to the car. He suddenly flips around with his knife drawn, and I pull my gun. Then he says, "We need to go now." We get in and drive off, and I ask, "What the fuck did you pull your knife out for?" And dead serious, he says, "Something was running behind me, like it was charging at us." I don't know what happened, but even typing this out gives me chills. I don't believe in anything supernatural or paranormal. Ghosts, werewolves, whatever is considered paranormal or spooky. But this scared the shit out of me. Something wasn't right and I knew it. I can't explain it. I guess I'm asking in case someone might know what I experienced.
Emily and the Black Figure by Maria. About 24 years ago, when I was 2 years old, my parents bought an abandoned farm. It wasn't in the middle of nowhere, but still very private. It had been a while since people lived there, so it needed a lot of love. My dad took me to see the hayloft and told me not to move, as I could fall through the ceiling. He went further in the loft and I stood still. When he came back 5 or so minutes later, I was talking and laughing with something. He asked me about it, and I just said, "Oh, it's Emily. She lives here. Can I play with her?" My dad got a bit spooked but brushed it off, since I was just a child. Fast forward a couple of years, and I have always been scared of the chimney, and got a weird feeling getting near our fireplace, like something wanted to hurt me. As I got older, I kept telling my parents I didn't like the bad man in the chimney. There's always been weird activity in the house, especially the loft where me and my brother lived, so we had our own floor kind of thing. One time, my dad called me and asked me to stop moving my furniture around upstairs, since he was trying to take a nap. Except, I was at school, and so was my brother. This happened a couple of times. There's one night in particular I can never forget. Everything just came together. I woke up in bed, and there was a small girl, probably around 7 or 8 years old, just screaming in my face. I couldn't hear anything, but she was clearly screaming. She appeared to be scared, rather than trying to scare me. I somehow knew this was Emily. I turned around and did my best to calm down until I fell back asleep. She eventually woke me up again. This time, though, I saw a black figure by the top of the stairs. He didn't have a face or any features. It was just a black figure with a top hat on. I don't know how, but I could feel him staring at me with hatred. I knew he wanted to hurt me. Emily looked back at him and then back to me. And this time, I heard her say, "Please help me, he won't let me go." I stayed home the next day, trying to figure all this out. When my dad asked me what happened last night, I just stared at him. How could he know? Turns out, my aunt has a friend who's a medium. She called my aunt in a panic and told her to make sure I was okay. I have never met this friend or ever even heard of her before, but she knew what happened. After this, I dived into the whole paranormal universe and found out I'm kinda sensitive to it. That explains what happened. Fast forward to me moving out on my own. I had this feeling that a small boy was attached to me. I don't know why or how, but he was. I got the idea to ask my brother to please sit down with me while I tried to figure out who the child was. As I was trying to communicate with this child, I saw an adult hand reach out from down the hallway. Then, I saw a small boy take this hand, look back, and smile at me as he disappeared. I told my brother all of this as it was happening. "You better not be messing with me right now," he said. When I asked why, he said he felt his hand become extremely cold before I said the child took the hand in the hallway. He said he couldn't even move it. It's been a while since I've had any spooky encounters. I see shadows, but they're harmless. For now.
Seeing yourself on video is weird enough, but imagine seeing yourself doing something that you don't even remember doing.
Yeah, it's not so weird to film yourself because it's so similar to seeing yourself in the mirror. It's familiar, but when someone films you from the side, from behind, or far away, it's like looking into an alternate reality. At this point, I hate seeing the back of my head more than hearing my own voice.
Yeah, me too. And it kind of is an alternate reality when you think about it. And I guess this is abstract, but you're seeing yourself from someone else's point of view. It is technically their reality, not yours.
Yep. And that's just visually. If you really want to freak yourself out, just really think about how every single person you've ever met has their own perception of you. And nobody fully perceives you how you perceive yourself. So whatever version of you thinks exists only actually exists in your mind. Yeah. And even that's probably not accurate.
I've been thinking about this a lot lately just because, you know, I'm always reading about, especially lately, like manifestation and how reality is bendable and you can kind of mold your own reality and your own future. And, you know, it all kind of fits into a simulation. But yeah. You're right. It's freaking me out. I'd rather talk about how I found out that my hair was thinning in the back. I saw a video of myself that someone took, and when I saw the back of my head, my heart basically just dropped, and that's when I decided to buzz it all off.
You know what? It's a bold look, because you at least have the head for it, and the facial hair and glasses go with it all. I think it all ties together nicely.
That's actually a very nice compliment. Thank you.
You're quite welcome.
Yeah, I definitely do some questionable acts for a head of hair like yours.
Well, thank you. But as they say, the grays are coming and not the alien type.
I like that.
I'm working with it, though. I'm gonna keep it.
Yeah. Just be a salt and pepper silver daddy.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Wait, no, it's not silver daddy. It's silver fox.
Silver fox. I mean, daddy's okay. Call me daddy if you want to.
Anyways, it was a great story for much credit. They were from New Orleans. I just found that camera part to be the creepiest.
Yeah, I just like the blue camcorder with the disembodied hands from whatever episode that was in the double digits, I'm sure.
Yeah, I know. Don't remind me. I have dreams about that story.
I always still associate it with David Lynch's Lost Highway because of the creepy camcorder association.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought of when I first read this story. So Sneck, the author of The Lake Story, stated later that this thing their friend saw running after them actually followed them home.
Oh, have they gotten a look at it?
No, but they have been hearing it at the windows, and it's particularly interested in one of their roommate's girlfriends.
That's kind of specific and scary.
Yeah, I know. It kind of takes the supernatural out of the equation and sounds a bit more like a creepy stalker.
Right.
However, the girlfriend did say that they saw a figure at the window, and when they saw it, it moved to a blind spot, basically between two windows.
Nope, nope, hell no.
I know, I don't like that. Just the thought of that really creeps me out. It's kind of like another David Lynch reference at the diner in Mulholland Drive when, yeah, the creepy, weird-faced thing comes from, I don't want to ruin it for people, and then it just kind of goes back.
Yep.
It just pops in and out, almost like it's a haunted house ride with a cardboard cutout coming into view and then leaving. There's something very creepy about that. They also said that the girlfriend is Wiccan and sprinkled some salt and used sage to try and ward it off.
Hey, there you go. Hopefully we'll get some updates soon, but that all sounds more like a Let's Not Meet stalker.
Yeah, I was borderline planning on including it in Let's Not Meet, but it had just enough mystery and supernatural touch to it that I added it to Odd Trails. Plus, there are more updates to share that qualify it for Odd Trails. The author said that they found some footprints outside of their window, and the author states that they have a size 11, and these were about 2 to 3 inches larger than theirs.
Are we talking like barefoot or shoe prints?
That's the thing, barefoot.
Oh, got a BFG creep on our hands.
yeah. And the terrain is really rough with rocks and sticks and other sharp stuff. Here's a direct quote from them and their update. They said, "I felt like I wasn't out there long." They had been sitting out there with a shotgun waiting for it. "And I began to hear leaves shuffle. Sounded like a rabbit maybe, so I ignored it and kept listening. Thud. I hear something hit the roof above me, and then creaking sounds. On the other side of the fence, I hear more leaves, and then the most inhuman sound I've ever heard. It sounded almost like the Predator from the Predator series. I pointed my shotgun and flashlight towards the fence and slowly backed away. Then I proceeded to shuffle backward to the house, then back inside. I know now that I'm not dealing with a human or my imagination."
You know what? I am inclined to agree.
Me too. Anyways, I'm going to follow this one closely and update you guys with any more info that comes out.
I really wonder what it could have been. I don't want to say it's a fun coincidence, but that's two stories this episode with some weird whistling out in nature.
Yeah, that's right. You read the one from Appalachia, a place that's very near and dear to our hearts on the show.
yeah. They both could just be some sort of mimic, your favorite.
Yep.
Whistling seems human enough. And in at least the story I read, they specifically said it didn't sound like it came from a bird, which was my first thought.
Oh, that's just wonderful. Good for them.
All I know is that apparently whistling is common in Appalachian folklore, which would explain how their grandma knew that you're not supposed to whistle back. Super creepy stuff. I still want to go there, though.
Yeah, me too. And not only that, you're apparently not supposed to be looking into the woods at night, because you'll either see something or something will definitely be looking back at you that you won't want looking back at you.
That's just too many rules for me to follow. I know they're there for a reason, but no promises. We'll see what happens.
Well, you won't be able to peace out if you don't stay safe first.
Clever.
We really do need to make some shirts and some merchandise. I know we talk about it and it's been years since we started the podcast, but that would be a perfect shirt. This is just stay safe, peace out.
With Odd Trails on the shirt pocket, done.
Yeah, that's perfect. We got to figure out how to do that. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we got it.
Thanks everybody so much for listening. Make sure you send your stories to stories@oddtrails.com. And if you want to get ad-free versions of all of our episodes, go to patreon.com/oddtrails to sign up and support the show today. Don't forget to check out the new episodes of my other podcasts like Let's Not Meet, Cryptic Encounters, and the Old Time Radiocast at crypticcountypodcasts.com. We'll see y'all next week, everyone. Stay safe.
Peace out.
And the ghouls disturb you, darling.